There you go. Bill Flores joins us. You going to the game?
Absolutely. Oh, no, I won't be at the game, but okay. I'll be listening to it on, or watching it on TV.
Okay. Well, no, you listen to Dave on there and watch it on TV. Yeah.
There you go. That's the right answer.
That's it.
That.
That's all right. That's okay.
Anyway, it's great to be with you on News Talk 1620.
Yeah, you've been gone.
I have been gone.
So
I'm back.
You are. And we talked while you're out there. I mean, somebody told me, great story, you're leaning, were you outside the Holocaust Museum, leaning against the wall talking to me? Is that right?
That's
Jerusalem?
Correct.
Yeah,
that's correct.
Yeah, when I talked to your wife, she said that. So that was kind of a neat deal. All right, let's look forward to what's going to happen when you come back. You've had a couple of town hall meetings, and you're going to have some more, and speaking to local groups. What are you hearing out there first, and what are you telling them?
Well, the overarching thing that I'm hearing is a sentiment of the American people, and that is that they are really frustrated with what's going on in Washington, and they're really mad. And you see that in some of the presidential rhetoric that's going on today. But in terms of issues, the number one issue on everybody's minds is national security. They're really upset about Iran. They're really worried about the Islamic State. And China is still causing some concern in the back of their minds as well.
Well, now the president's one vote away from being able to be safe that he won't have a presidential override. Mitch McConnell has already said that. He said this a month ago. He said that there would not be enough votes. Why is leadership of the Republican Party in the Senate saying this before these individual senators came out?
For the life of me, Scott, I don't know. It's really frustrating to me to ever concede the fight before you've had the fight. And so this is something of international importance to all of our kids and our grandkids and the future of this country and the future of this world. And to concede that fight before you've actually tried your best, I think, is totally inappropriate. And I'm disappointed.
You know, we've talked about this. Republicans screw this up in a leadership position, and you're going to be in trouble for decades, it would seem. So what do you say to your Republican constituents out there when your leadership is not doing what they want to see done?
Well, what I would say to them is, let us try to continue to buck up our leadership and cause them to do the right thing, to try to get them to grow some backbone and to fight. Look, this is not the first issue where we've had trouble with Mitch McConnell in the Senate. He wanted to concede. I mean, he's already said, "Look, I'm willing to give up on Planned Parenthood and trying to defund Planned Parenthood." He has tried to come up with a barber boxer highway bill to shove down the throat of the House. It didn't work out very well for him. And so I hope that he'll sit down with his colleagues and also come over and sit down with us in the House. And we can help him. We can help him get some successful and positive solutions across the finish line. But he's got to quit conceding so early.
Bill Flores joining us in the studio today. What would you say to those people who say, "All right, so what? Even if we were able to trash this Iranian deal, this was not just Iran and the United States. These were other countries sitting on the table across from Iran. You wouldn't be able to bring them back to the table anyway."
No, I disagree with that. If you have background conversations with those countries, they will tell you that they're uncomfortable with this deal as well. The reason that some of them went along, not all, but the reason some of them went along is, because the United States was putting intense pressure on them to do so, and then, a couple of the countries that are parties to this no longer respect the opinion of the United States and went along with it in order to put the United States in an uncomfortable position in case that Congress is actually able to stop it. And so you've got some interesting dynamics playing out.
Let's go back and pick up on China. Obviously, the stock market rocked and rolled, and some people said it was because of China. I have to believe there are other incidences. But as China stands right now, and they do seem to be in some turmoil economically, what does that mean for the United States?
Well, I think it will cause some economic disruption in the United States because China is a big importer of American goods and services, and in the way they've changed their currency, they're trying to set up where they can make their imports more attractive than our domestically produced goods. I don't worry about that too much in the short term. I think we as a country, given our economic strength, are going to be strong enough to be able to overcome that. I think the fundamentals here are better. But I really would like – one of the ways that we can make sure that China is not a problem for us at all is to go do the things that we need to do to bolster our own economy, comprehensive tax reform, get the regulators back inside their statutory boxes. You know, the EPA, for one, I mean, they're doing everything they can that's outside of their statutory authority. Those are the types of things where we can ensure ourselves, insulate ourselves from whatever happens in China. Look, over the long run, China is not going to be a big factor for the United States. In the short term, they're disruptive. But over the long term...
Okay, big factor in the United States in what way?
Well,
we have more debt with them than anybody else.
In terms of national security.
Okay.
Look, China has more debt than the United States. For the size, I mean, they've issued, I think the number is like $28 trillion in debt. We've got 18 or 19. So they have gone through this borrowing phase to build things that are empty. So that's a problem. So that they don't understand, I think, real world economics, number one. So that's going to cause them some heartburn. Number two, because of their one-child policy, they've got a rapidly aging population with real gender imbalance because they're predominantly more male, they've got a bigger number of males than females. So I think, you know, if you look two decades down the road, I don't think China is going to be the challenge that they are today. They are a short-term challenge, I believe. I think longer-term, I think the challenge that we need to be dealing with and paying attention to is Iran. Look, I've been in the Middle East now five times in the last 4.5 years. And Iran has a chance to change the world the way we know it. And we won't like the outcome if we don't stand in the gap right now.
Well, we see the challenges now as people are trying to, I mean, I heard that Germany may have to take in 800,000 refugees into the core of Europe, and they can't do that, and all of that ends up being, you know, in response to what's going on in the Middle East, and people are trying to chase away from that.
That's correct.
Let's turn to House leadership for a minute. Okay. John Boehner called Ted Cruz a jackass in public. He seems to be a guy who, once again, is not taking the mantle of leadership the way that a lot of people would like to see. You obviously have a large group of conservatives that you control. What are you hearing from the Republican study group? And then what are you hearing from constituents about a Speaker of the House that doesn't seem to have much of a backbone?
Well, look, I would say that Speaker Boehner has a pretty good backbone. I think, let me put it this way, I'm very critical of his comment, the name calling about Ted Cruz. I think that was totally inappropriate. I will be meeting with Speaker Boehner next Tuesday evening, and I will tell him that, you know, it's not helpful to those of us that are conservatives trying to advance positive conservative solutions for him to be going out and calling other conservatives names. I think that was a bad deal for him to do. The other thing, but the more important thing I've got to do is sit down and deal with some policy issues with him. Number one is, what are we going to do on the debt ceiling vote? What kind of things is he going to let conservatives like me add to that, like approval of the Keystone Pipeline, like defunding Planned Parenthood, things like that, to make that a more palatable vote so that we get something good out of an otherwise bad vote? We're going to need to have to talk about you know, when are we going to move forward using the reconciliation process for repealing and replacing Obamacare. So, I mean, I've got a broad number of issues I need to deal with him on. And so, you know, I'll call him out on the name calling, but then I need to get into the policy.
Just real quick, where are we with XM Bank? Because that was really a hot thing before we left.
Yeah.
And now, you know, it's been quiet for a while. Y'all have not been in session. What's going to happen?
Well, so far, the efforts that I led with the Republican Study Committee have been successful in causing that to not be reauthorized. Now, there's going to be some person that is going to attach a reauthorization amendment to some bill that's must pass, that is a must pass bill. And we're going to have to do all we can to try to pull it back out or defeat that effort to do that. It's too early for me to predict the outcome. I want to assure our constituents that we will continue to try to fight the reauthorization of that agency.
Bill Flores joining us in the studio. Finally, I want you to put your oil hat on for a minute. I paid $2.14 a gallon for diesel the other day. I was really excited about that. But, you know, our economy and the numbers that Hager's put together based on, you know, $50 oil, and we're at $40 oil.
Right.
What does that mean for the Texas economy, and what can we look forward to?
I think we're going to struggle a little bit. You know, we dipped below $40. We were in the 30s for a couple of days over the past few trading days. And I think that doesn't bode well for us. Fortunately, the Saudis have seen that. And I think the Saudis, if you look at what the Saudis are having to borrow to cover their social costs because of low oil prices, I think they've decided to be more rational actors. And so I think we'll see them cut production some. In terms of what we can do domestically, We can lift the ban on U.S. exports.
Well, now the administration did that to some extent with Mexico, right?
Yeah, but that was a rounding error. Okay. Actually, we need to do it. We need to have a complete lifting of the ban. We need to have free and fair trade in oil, just like we'd like to have with every other product that we produce in this country. And so what? Well, that's another subject I'll be talking to Boehner about. And actually, he's already promised us. He and Kevin McCarthy have promised me. That we'll have a vote to lift that ban, and we've got bipartisan support to do that. And so I'm hopeful that we can get that done in September. If not, it'll be done before the end of October, if not in September.
Okay. Thanks for the time this morning. Appreciate you being able to come into the studio since you're spending a few more days here. And then, back into session on Tuesday. Is that right?
Right.
Okay.
A week from yesterday.
All right. Look forward to talking to you next week.
You bet. I'd ask your listeners to continue praying for our country and our military men and women and our first responders.
All right. Thanks.